It's lovely to be with you again. It's always a very warm welcome here. Thank you. Well, I think we all know it. It's Palm Sunday, don't we? And Kath read some of that. When I was looking about Palm Sunday, there are lots of accounts of it in different parts of the Bible. And they all vary a little bit because they're written by different people, aren't they, who witnessed it. So I think every person who witnesses something gives a little bit of a different slant, don't they, on it. So there are different things that come out in the different accounts in the Bible. So I just want to read a few verses from Luke as well. So it's obviously slightly different to the one that Kath read. But I think it's always worth reading God's word again, isn't it? He says it never returns to him void, doesn't it? So this is from Luke 19. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you why you are untying it, say, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' 'I tell you,' he replied, 'if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.' As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, 'If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you, excuse me, the days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." What a warning, and how sad. But you know, in the East at that time, it was the highest honor to throw cloaks and palm branches before someone in a procession. But you know, it's significant here that Jesus requests a donkey because he came humbly into Jerusalem on that day. He wanted the people to know that he was coming in peace. Do you know, if he was riding on a horse, you know, on a big horse, that speaks really of somebody like a warrior coming back from battle. But Jesus was coming to them here in peace, and he wanted to emphasize that. So he came humbly riding on a donkey. And it just made me think about what something for us to think about, for us to treat that as an example, that we should always be humble. Because if Jesus could be humble riding on a donkey, how much more can we? And there are a number of scriptures, obviously, to encourage us. But in Micah, it says, "The Lord has already told you what is good, and this is what he requires: to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly before your God." And also in James, it says, "God gives grace to the humble." And reading these various accounts of this procession on Palm Sunday, I just wanted to look at one or two of the different aspects of that and just bring one or two different things for us to think about today. And one of the things is the donkey, to just look at it from the point of view of the donkey for a minute. Because that donkey, it says in different accounts it was the foal, but we can just refer to it as a donkey, it's easier, isn't it? But the important thing was it was a young donkey and it had never been ridden. And just imagine, you know, when you break in a horse for it to be ridden, they say it has to be broken, don't they? And, you know, to be quiet and allow someone to ride on its back. But this donkey had never had anybody on its back. Now someone came and untied it, who it had never seen before. They led it to an area where there was crowds of people. They put cloaks on its back, and a man, presumably quite a heavy man, was then put on its back. And then it was led in this procession, and people were throwing palm branches and cloaks in its way. But it didn't resist. But it's, I believe that was because the donkey recognised its creator and he submitted to it. And, you know, if it were a horse that you were breaking in, as I said before, you know, that would have to be broken. But this donkey, because Jesus was riding on its back, didn't have to be broken. It just went willingly and quietly and allowed Jesus to ride on its back. And it must have probably travelled for quite a way with all this noise going on around it and didn't resist. It had an uneven path to walk, but yet it didn't resist. And it made me think, you know, sometimes we perhaps walk an uneven path, don't we? In our Christian walk, we can, things come in our way and we can feel things are strewn in our way, can't we? To make a bit, make it uneven for us. But you know, as long as we recognise our Creator and follow Him, then He has the path laid out for us, doesn't He? And we can then walk humbly and follow our Creator. But it's all about recognising, isn't it, who He is and who He is to us. Because the whole symbol of the whole story of Easter is about recognising our Creator and accepting Him, isn't it, of our Saviour. And we can all do that. And another, excuse me, another thing about the donkey that day, having Jesus riding on its back, it lifted Jesus higher so that people could see Him better. And the crowds were all around, and perhaps more crowds came and joined because they could see Jesus. I mean, they had heard, hadn't they, that Jesus had performed all these miracles, and so they wanted to come and see what was happening. And just before we, I want to talk about the crowd, but something else for us to consider here is that on that same, in that same time in Jerusalem, this was just before the Passover, because we know that Jesus died on the Passover, but it was obviously only a few days later. But at this same time, in the custom then for the Passover, as we know, was to bring a lamb. Each family had to bring a lamb to be sacrificed at the Passover. So there had to be a lot of preparation beforehand. The shepherds, I guess, around that time knew that they had to prepare a number of lambs, probably obviously a lot more than they would normally, because these lambs had to be around a year old. They had to be without any blemish. And so it would probably be quite a task to prepare enough for every family, because each family had to have one. And it's significant that on that day, the Lamb of God was travelling into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey, humbly. But He was the spotless Lamb of God for us, wasn't He? And it says in Peter, He committed no sin and no deceit was found in His mouth. And do you know, I don't want to steal Lou's thunder for next week, because it's obviously Easter next Sunday. But you know, when Pilate interrogated Jesus, you know, we all know the account of that. And at the end of interrogation for a number of hours, Pilate says, "I find no fault in Him." And that was from an unbeliever. he couldn't find any fault in Jesus, because Jesus had to be that way for us, didn't he? The only way he could be our Lamb of God and be the sacrifice for us was because he was sinless. And so he was worthy, so that through him we can be made worthy. We aren't worthy in our own right, are we? We can only be made worthy through Jesus. And then the crowd. There was a number of different categories in that crowd, because some hailed him as king and saw him coming as their deliverer. They were crying Hosanna. We've sung that earlier, haven't we? We've just sung that song, Hosanna to the King of Kings. And imagine these people in the crowd were shouting that to him, Hosanna to the King of Kings. And Hosanna actually means save now, save me now. So they were really crying out, save me. But as we know in the Bible, only a few days later, probably some of that same crowd were crying, crucify him. And it made me think about how fickle we humans can be. You know, with only in a few days change, because of things that can sway us, we can move from one extreme to another. But we have to be really grounded in our faith, don't we? And knowing who our Creator is. And, you know, there were seems that they were quite an excited bunch from the way we read it. And some of them were coming because they'd heard about what was happening, what Jesus had done previously, and when he had had a crowd around him, he'd very often performed lots of miracles that would have been spectacular. And so some of them were probably coming for the spectacle of the day. You know, as you know, sometimes you hear of a procession, you want to go and see, don't you? See what's happening. So some would probably have gone just purely to see the spectacle. But, you know, the more discerning of that crowd would have gone to see the Saviour, wouldn't they? That was much more important than just the spectacle of the few moments. All this happened on that day, fulfilling what had been said previously, what had been prophesied by Zechariah. Way back in Zechariah 9:9, we read, Rejoice greatly, O people of Zion. Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, yet he is humble, riding on a donkey, even a donkey's colt. So, you know, a lot of the people in that crowd would have heard those scriptures read regularly in the temple, because that's what happened in the temple on the Sabbath. They would read the scriptures from the Old Testament. So they would have heard this regularly. And yet, a lot of them wouldn't have recognized their Creator and Messiah, would they, as he came on that procession. And sometimes we perhaps have to examine where we fall, because we're not perfect, are we? None of us. And we can fall into some of these categories of the crowd. Are we following the Saviour or what we can see him do? Are we following afar off? Because some people in that crowd would probably have tagged in right on the edge of the crowd, not really wanting to join in too much. So are we a little bit like that with our Saviour? Are we following a little bit far off? Or are we just waiting and watching to see what will happen? You know, are we in the category that thinks, well, maybe one of these days I'll make a commitment. But there's no time like the present. And because we can't count on tomorrow, can we? We can only count on today. And then we read about the Pharisees and some of the leaders. And they didn't really like what was happening. it seems that they wanted to maintain authority and keep control because they had a certain amount of power, because the Romans were in control at that time, but they were allowed some of the religious leaders to have a certain amount of control among their own people. So they wanted to retain that. So they didn't really like the fact that this man was coming riding on a donkey and people were hailing him as their king. And they were worried about their authority. And them, more than anybody, should have been aware of this prophecy, shouldn't they? And that Jesus was their Messiah coming to them now. But a lot of them didn't want to recognize him, did they? Was it a case that they really didn't totally understand what they were denying? You know, you can think all different things really around this, but it made me examine how we really look at things. Because, as I said before, the old key to Easter is recognizing Jesus for who he is and who he was back then and who he still is now as our Messiah. You know, a lot of the Jews still are waiting for their Messiah. And that's really sad, isn't it, that they haven't recognized who Jesus is. And then we read that they didn't want, obviously, some of the crowd didn't want Jesus to be praised. And it says that they said, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples for praising him." And then he said, "If they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." And that made me realize that more and more we need to really show Jesus the praise and the honour that he's due, don't we? Because there's no one else worthy, is there, of the praise and glory and honour that Jesus is due. And we need to remember that. You know, we don't want the stones to cry out in our place, do we, in praise and honour of our Lord. And then we read that Jesus wept. And there are a few times, I think, in the Bible that we read it, don't we? And in this case, he was weeping over Jerusalem and saying, "If you'd only turn to me." And he's saying that now. He's saying that now over such a lot of people now who are saying, "If you'd only turn to me while you still have chance." And I think he weeps over us as well here, because I was thinking about how humanity has treated his creation. Because some of the things we as humanity have done, I mean, I don't mean us personally, but you know, how the planet is being treated. You know, for instance, with the plastics and all that sort of thing. You know, what are we doing to his creation? And I think he's weeping now over the sin and depravity in the world today. And then we read about him coming to the temple. He had to cleanse the temple on that day. And that, I don't think they were expecting that, were they? Because, you know, the way that they were supposed to prepare for the Passover was for them to bring a lamb themselves that was without blemish and the right, you know, fitting in the right criteria for their teaching. And they were supposed to bring that lamb, each family. But they were short-cutting. So instead of bringing one and going to the trouble of doing that, they were arriving at the temple and then expecting it to be already prepared for them. So there were people who were actually doing that, preparing a lamb and selling them then in the temple. And you probably know that in the East particularly, bartering was then and is still now quite a common thing. If you know, if any of you have traveled around there, you'll know that they don't expect to say a price for something. They pluck a figure out the head and then expect you to barter. So bartering was actually going on in the temple, and people were making money out of selling lambs for the sacrifice, which wasn't what the temple was designed for, was it? And what it was supposed to be used for. So Jesus had to come in, and as we know, he cleared all these people out and said, "My house should be a house of prayer, not for people to make money." So I'd just like us to consider some of the aspects of that Palm Sunday again. There are a number of things that if we look at it and put ourselves in those circumstances, are we recognising our Creator? Are we giving him the true honour that he's due? Are we following him from afar off? And are we really trusting in him to save us? Like, Hosanna, save me. We can say that today, and we can be saved today. We can do something about it so that we can praise him in spirit and in truth, so that we're in a right place to give him the true honour and glory that he's due. And then the stones won't have to cry out and praise him, will we? Will they? Because we can do it, because that's our privilege to do that. We can do it today in the right place with Jesus. We don't have to be in denial about anything. We can just come to him as our Creator and recognize him, who he is and who he can be to each one of us personally. And I just pray that we will consider that over today and over Easter, that we won't just think about Easter eggs and Easter bunnies, that we'll think about the true meaning of Easter and how the run-up to it and what it all means and what it can mean to each of us if it doesn't already. Amen.